Hello friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
Today we're going to be chatting a bit about a few things we are looking forward to, but in pursuit of, you know, maybe some recs that even we hadn't heard of, we have asked friends of the pod, some booksellers, some authors to recommend some titles that they are looking forward to for the rest of the year. So we're trying to keep all of this to things that are coming out this year rather than looking to 2025.
It's what too early. It's too early to think about 25. Also, I always feel like autumn publishing is fun because it can be easy to miss titles because there's so many brand names, like brand name authors come out in the lead up to Christmas. So I think it's a fun opportunity to just make sure we're not missing anything. You know, like, just check out some titles that maybe are more literary or maybe are from debuts that
may have flown under the radar.
Exactly.
What are you looking forward to? Name some names.
So, I've got a list of, like, three, but I think we have at least two in common. I'm really excited about the release of a book called Thirst by Marina Yuzchuk.
Y-U-S-Z-C-Z-U-K. You see why we may have struggled with this, even as a hardened pronouncer like myself.
We have actually looked it up. Anyway, this novel it's an Argentinian author. The novel's translated by Heather Cleary, and it's a vampire novel.
Gorge.
And I fucking love vampires, bro. I love them so much. I don't read a huge amount of horror fantasy vampires. I'm more of a straight horror slash literary vampire girly. And this novel, I have read it, so I'm more excited to see it, like, spread its bat wings and, like, reach
fly off into the world.
Yeah, in October. But it's very, like, I would describe it as, like, half Interview the Vampire, but then half a kind of contemporary queer coming-of-age moment, or, like, queer realisation, I guess. There's something just deeply sexy about it. I really enjoyed reading it, and I feel like it's the it's just perfect to bring out that time of year. So I really hope that anyone who enjoys stuff like that's a bit sexy, a bit violent, a little bit undead will go for this one.
Good. Have you read the others on your list?
I've read one of the other ones on my list.
Okay.
And I haven't read the third.
Exciting. So I will say one that you have read.
Yes.
Which is the new Jacqueline Wilson, Think Again. I'm very excited about this. I haven't read it because, as we know, if I have to talk about a book, I need to have read it very recently. And I am chairing her at an event in West Kirby on the 20th of September when the book comes out. So I'm going to save that for a little early September, mid-September read.
What a treat. Did you read the original?
I did, yes.
Novels? Yeah, we've discussed them. We've discussed them.
Big fan. So I'm very, very excited about this. But I just, what a great idea. What an unexpected thing. Like, isn't it just such an unexpected treat?
And it is a treat. So I have read it. I won't say too much.
Please.
But it's very nostalgic. It's very fun. It's very warm. And these are all things I don't necessarily look for in my reading. Like, I don't think that this is a book I would have come to if it wasn't for the fact that it was based on this original series. The Girls series, for our listeners, started Girls in Love. I think there's four about teenagers. And Think Again picks up with these same characters as adults in their late 30s. And yeah, I just had a really nice time. It had very nostalgic, very intrinsically Jacqueline Wilson writing style. It made me kind of laugh that, like, they call, like, they use words like Burke.
Oh yes, I remember this.
It's just like very 90s.
Well, I'm very excited to read it. Fortunately for Jacqueline Wilson and the people of West Kirby, but unfortunately for anyone listening, the event is sold out, so you cannot join us. If you do not live there and you live somewhere else, maybe your local Jacqueline Wilson event on this tour is not sold out, but I will not be there. So your mileage may vary. Tell me another one.
Well, the other one on my list is Intermezzo by Sally Rooney. I'm a Rooney girl, you know. I absolutely loved Conversations with Friends. That's my personal favourite.
Me too.
I also love Normal People. Did you read Beautiful World, Where Are You?
I did, and I didn't love it, unfortunately. Yeah.
I feel like I was thinking about this today because people always say that the second novel is the hardest to write. I'm currently writing my second novel. For me, that tracks. It's been so difficult. Whereas Sally Rooney wrote Normal People before Conversations with Friends came out because she sold the book and I think had a 2-year wait, which is kind of standard. So she wrote this whole second novel before her
star, she was a big deal.
Rose. And of course, like, Conversations with Friends was a very successful book, but Normal People is what really catapulted her into the levels of fame she now is experiencing. So I wondered if Beautiful World, Where Are You was her tricky second novel, and if Intermezzo is going to be a more confident,
I will read it. Yeah, I won't let the fact that I didn't love Beautiful World, Where Are You put me off from reading Intermezzo.
And just, I've kind of just quickly looked up exactly what it's about. One of my fun quirks is that I actually never bother reading the back of books. Like, if I like the vibe of something and I've heard good things, I don't really need to know what the plot's about. I'm just like, but for the sake of the pod, obviously I do a lot of researching into stuff that I haven't read. But I realised that because of that, although I've read the extract that was published, I think, was it in the New Yorker?
Mm.
I read that extract, but I've never actually read the blurb. Anyway, it's about two brothers, one of whom is a competitive chess player. And the novel is about them kind of coming together through grief and a period of desire, despair and possibility, a chance to find out how much one life might hold inside itself without breaking. There's an old woman in here. Like, I'm excited. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And I'll give it a go. Pleased that I have a copy. So I'm going to take up my holiday, and maybe the next time we chat,
you can give your full and frank opinion.
Yeah, I'll have some thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I will read it, but I don't feel sort of like excited.
Yeah.
But I do really like her. So yes. I want her to experience only success and good things.
Yes.
But on a personal level, I don't know, I don't feel as like amped up about it as I might have done in the past.
I mean, I do actually feel like there's very few authors, even like my beloved Donna Tartt, The Secret History is one of my all-time favourite books. I just think every book will come with something new and different, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to hit the same note that makes me love their previous work. So I think when I say like I'm excited about something, I guess I mean more that, like, it's on my radar and I have an open mind and I'm probably going to read it. Whereas I never really go in expecting to love. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, I do not know what you mean. Like, you don't expect to love something, even if you love something by the same author.
Yeah, I'm always just like, you just never know. I guess what I mean is that I expect to like and I'm looking to love.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes the thing that pushes a book from like to love for me will be something that's not necessarily going to be inherent to that person's writing style.
Yeah.
You know, so like The Secret History, one of my all-time favourite books, I still haven't even read The Goldfinch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe that's a me problem.
It's interesting. It's a different vibe. Yeah. So there is a non-fic book that I'm excited to read that's coming out this year, which is called Street Level Superstar by Will Hodgkinson, which is a music book, a music-related non-fic about him spending a year with the recording artist Lawrence, who was in the bands Denim, Felt, Mozart Estate in like the 80s, the 90s and the noughties. And I haven't read it, but I got sent a copy, and my husband loves Lawrence and his oeuvre, and he just like chuckled his way through it and like was loving life. And it sounds like it's really like a really good fun read, but also like an interesting perspective on like maybe someone whose career didn't turn out quite the way that he thought it would. So even though I probably would have read it otherwise, but just seeing the delight that it brought my husband, I'm like, I'm on board for that.
And that's the same publisher as The Coin.
Exactly.
If I recall, yeah.
It is. Maybe a different imprint. It's different imprint because it's the music book imprint.
Oh, fun.
But my equivalent of like the Sally Rooney hype that is happening right now, I feel that way about Attica Locke, who I am I'm beside myself with excitement that she has a new book out called Guide Me Home, and it is the third in a what I think will be a trilogy rather than a longer series called the Highway 59 books, which is about a Black Texas Ranger. And I love her.
So we did read the first one for the pod, didn't we?
Yes, Bluebird.
Yeah.
And you vibed with it less than I did.
I don't like police procedural stuff, even though I think like she's an incredibly accomplished writer and the work on the page is wonderful. It's just a genre that I just can't quite see eye to eye with.
Yeah.
I feel like the only exception is not even really a police procedural, but would be like Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
Otherwise, yeah, I just don't particularly gel with that angle.
In general, I also agree. I just find her, like, her look at, like, race in Texas, I find it very interesting. And I don't know, yeah, I love being in her worlds. And I feel like I get a lot out of the books beyond just enjoying them as a reading experience. And yeah, she's someone that I've been really sort of looking forward to her having a new one coming out, because I find her very consistent. Yeah, so that's my, those are my few that I'm hyped about on the horizon for the rest of the year. But we will not stop there.
We're not, that's not all.
That's not all.
So we thought it'd be fun. I know we've kind of already introed this episode, but what I thought was really fun, we've asked about 5 booksellers and about 5 authors, give or take, and no one's repeated the same title.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, like not a single person repeated either any of the titles that we have listed or titles that other people that we asked have listed, which I thought was amazing. Like, it just shows how much amazing publishing there is.
Still left in this year.
Yeah. So we're going to take it in turns and share these recommendations. I guess they're recommendations / books that people are looking forward to.
Yeah. So they may or may not have read them, but this is what our esteemed people are looking forward to. So we asked PJ Ellis, Phil Ellis, to his friends.
I think he publishes in the UK as Phil, right? And PJ in America.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember.
Either way, Philip Ellis.
Yes.
Good egg. Delightful, delightful egg. Who's the author of We Could Be Heroes, which came out this year, a romance novel about a Hollywood superstar and a bookseller, but with a kind of dual timeline, which flashes back to the 1940s to the couple of comic book artists that will create the comic that will unite the present day couple. And his recommendation, well, he says, "Hello, darling, what an honour."
I forgot to cut that.
No, it's fine. It gives us some flavour. I'm interested to read Entitlement by Ruman Alam when it comes out in September, just because Leave the World Behind was such a conversation starter. And he also says, I'll also be reading This Motherless Land by Nikki May, author of Wahala. She's a very fun lady I met at a party, and this one is a retelling of Mansfield Park, but set between Somerset and Lagos.
That sounds fun.
It does sound fun. Thank you, Phil.
Did you read Leave the World Behind?
I didn't. I've had it on my Kindle for a million years, and I haven't got around to it.
It's one of those books that has such a strong premise.
Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't got to it.
Yeah, and then the Netflix adaptation, I did not consume, because I was like, oh, no, I want to read the book.
That's it. I was like, man, I really want to watch this because it looks great. But I was like, is it going to be the kind of thing that once I know what is going on, will the book lose some momentum?
Yeah.
Because the premise is a couple staying in there in an Airbnb, and like these people arrive at the door saying, we're the owners of this Airbnb, you have to let us in, like something terrible has happened. Like there's kind of like an apocalyptic event has occurred, and so they kind of panic and let them in. I think that's the premise, which I think sounds great. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I will read it.
Yeah.
Once I've cleared my backlog.
So then the first of the booksellers that we asked is Gail from London Review Bookshop. London Review Books? Bookshop? London Review? I always call it LRB.
Yeah, the LRB Bookshop. The London Review of Books Bookshop.
And I think Gail is like one of my favourite booksellers as a person, but also her recommendations are amazing. And LRB, I think they do it each season, or maybe twice a year, ask their booksellers for like a top 5 of what they're looking forward to. And every year, man, Gail's list is always incredible. So Gail says, you don't need me to tell you to read the new Olga Tokarczuk when she already has the Nobel Committee vouching for her. But the Imposium, out in September, translated by Antonia Lloyd-Jones and published by Fitzcarraldo, is brilliant. I was drawn to it mainly due to its fantastic subtitle, A Health Resort Horror Story, and it did not disappoint. Tuberculosis, hallucinogenic fungal liquor, sinister local folklore in the Silesian Mountains as the First World War looms, strange and funny and incredibly compelling. I hope I pronounced that mountain range correctly.
Yeah, Silesian, yeah.
Perfect.
It
surprised me.
Yeah.
I am really excited about this. I feel like a health resort horror story, immediately yes.
Sign me up.
Immediately yes, like, perfect. And again, I kind of love reading that kind of thing. That I'm a real seasonal reader. I like to read like spooky shit during the spooky time of year, so I'm definitely gonna pick that one up.
No, it sounds amazing. So the next author that we asked was Laura Kay, the gorgeous girly, author of Making It, which is, that was her book out this year. We're just going to name the books that these people had out this year, every book that they've ever published.
Yeah, we aim to ask authors who have something out this year as like an opportunity to also just highlight more good reading.
Exactly. So the book that Laura released this year was called Making It, which is a queer rom-com about depression, making art and chinchillas. And she recommended, again, a horror, intriguing. She recommended Feast While You Can by Michaela Clements and Anjali Datta. It's a queer horror, super sexy and surreal, about a small town with an urban legend that turns out to be more real and more horrifying than they could have imagined. A grotesque love story. I told them both I'm very frightened of them now. Spooky wives.
I'm intrigued by this because their last book was like a fake dating Hollywood...
sexy romance.
Romance. Yeah. So like they've completely pivoted... which is the thing you're always told you can't do. But yeah. Like, why the fuck not?
Also, like, a couple that are writing together. I think that's very chic.
Yeah, very chic. I'm excited. In fact, because I'm currently... I don't know if I've mentioned this already. I guess by the time this podcast goes up, I will have finished my second book. Hopefully. But I've had to say, like, I put a pause on reading new stuff. Like, publishers get in touch, ask if I'm available to blurb. If I like the vibe of something, I always just say yes and see how I feel. But I've had to just put a complete freeze on it. I'm too busy. However, that one came through and I was like, yes.
Sign me up.
Yes. I will probably not get to read it until September, October, but fuck yes, I want to read that. Okay, next from our booksellers, we asked Freddie from Common Press. And before I go into Freddie's recommendations, because they gave us a bunch, Common Press is a queer bookshop just off Brick Lane, or is it on Brick Lane itself?
It's at the top of Brick Lane.
It's at the very top, right by the good bagel shops.
Yeah.
But they have lost their funding. So they're doing a fundraiser to try and keep the bookshop open. It is an incredible shop and it holds like space for queer people to come together. There's a cafe, there's tables to work, there's rentable spaces to hold workshops. Like, it's an amazing space. It will be such a loss. So I will be posting on our Instagram account in our bio a link to the fundraiser. There's all sorts of different options. You can buy like a book subscription from them. You can just send them some money as, you know, out of the kindness of your heart. I just really encourage you guys, even if you don't live in London or come to London, it's the kind of thing that the landscape needs. We need bookshops like Common Press. So I urge you to go and have a look at that link. Freddie's recommendations are also banging. They said, oh my god, so many new books coming soon. Can I recommend everything Tilted Access Publishing? Because they are currently making up most of my TBR pile. Tilted Access are a publisher that specialise in translated fiction. So that's really cool, very chic. Also, Nat Reeves' follow-up to Nettleblack is coming soon from Cypher and is going to be absolutely gorgeous. And Romeo and Seahorse, I want to read that so bad. I have to say, I was going to Google who that's by and I forgot to do that. The Black Orb by Ewan Kim sounds fucking wild. And Medusa of the Roses, I'm hugely excited to get into the shop soon. And for non-fiction, Transfemme Futures by Nat Raha and Mike van der Drift, coming in November and soon to be so good. Heart emoji, heart eyes emoji, heart eyes emoji. And then a follow-up message that came a little bit later. Heart emoji, prayer hands emoji, heart emoji, flame emoji, heart emoji. Also, the new Ali Smith, because I can't not mention Ali Smith. I love a bit of Ali Smith.
My secret shame, never read.
Ah!
I know.
I feel like I probably hear this information from you regularly and react the same way.
And then you scrub it from your brain.
And then I do, because I don't.
Because it's so improbable. It doesn't make any
sense. It just doesn't, to me, that bends the fabric of my understanding.
So what would you say is the most accessible Ali Smith?
The Accidental.
Okay, then I will begin there.
I think The Accidental is my fav. But then also Girl Meets Boy. Is it called Girl Meets Boy?
I think we've gone through this before. I think I've experienced you saying those exact words in my life.
Girl Meets Boy.
Gorge.
Is also like a classic. It's a novella. It's deeply readable. It's really fucking cool. So yeah, please read some Ali Smith.
Yeah, I want to. I feel like I really didn't know where to start. And I didn't want to start with something that would put me... You know, I didn't want to start in the wrong place and then not vibe. So now that I know where to begin, I feel like I can begin.
Report back. Read The Accidental. Report back.
I will. And thank you, Freddie, from Common Press for all of those recommendations. So we then ask Irenison Okoji, who's the author most recently of Curandera. I will read you what that book is, and then I will read you Irenison's recommendation. So Curandera In a mountainous town in 17th century Cape Verde, a mysterious woman's arrival sparks a series of strange events. While in present-day London, a quartet are brought together by their fascination with ritual, miracles, and a life beyond the mundane. With the past and the present beginning to blur into one, Curandera is a story of rebirth and redemption, a mythic tale of recalibrations across time. Gorge. And Irenison would like to recommend Fire Exit by Morgan Tulte from And Other Stories, out in October. She says, it's an exquisite, quietly devastating exploration of familial blood ties and legacies. It's beautiful, full of quiet power.
I think they both sound great. Yeah. I'm particularly excited to read Curandera. I really like Irenison's writing style. And it's a real treat to have another novel from her. I agree. Think her last book was a short story collection. So I'm excited to have something longer. Is she licking you or the sofa?
Well, borderline. She was licking herself, but licking very close to my leg.
This is my disgusting little dog who absolutely loves licking fabric.
She's so nice.
She's good as gold. In the last episode, she was skidding around, her little nails making noise, whereas now she's just sat quietly. She's where she wants to be, which is squeezed onto the chair.
Where I'm sitting. Yes.
But she's happy as a clam. She just loves people.
There's room for both of us.
Okay, next, I have another Freddy.
Oh, yes.
I have Freddy from Kirkdale.
My local indie.
Your local indie. As a queer bookseller, I'm a sucker, excuse the pun, for anything gay and full of longing. There are a few books in life that are destined to choose their readers at exactly the right time they need to be read. This year, I couldn't think of a book more suited to that destiny than Isaac by Curtis Garner, coming at the end of November. This book will stay with you for a long time after finishing it.
Intriguing.
Let me just pull up.
Yeah, tell me more.
Oh, man. So this one is, after inexperienced 17-year-old Isaac loses his virginity through a dating app, a disappointing yet addictive experience, he spends his final months before university escaping into a dizzy new world of casual sex with forgettable men. This all changes when he meets 28-year-old Harrison at a party. Isaac is immediately infatuated by the handsome, charismatic artist, but while they grow closer, his sense of self becomes increasingly hazy. Harrison's demands shift constantly, and after Isaac tries everything to prove his worthiness, he must take a hard look at his ideas about love, sex, and men, and his relationship with himself. That sounds so banging.
Who has published this? Not that it matters. I just feel like sometimes knowing the publisher helps you situate it psychologically. Do you know what
Verve
I mean?
Verve Books.
Interesting.
Who? I don't know if they're new or if it's just that they got really good at marketing, but they have had quite a few books. I'd never heard of them before this year.
Another on your radar big time.
Quite a few bangers.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Freddie, local legend. Next up, we have a longer recommendation from the wonderful Ellie Williams.
Oh my God, I love Ellie Williams.
So this year, Ellie had a new short story collection called Moderate to Poor, Occasionally Good. But Alice and I have spent many hours of our lives telling people, probably you, about A Trib, which was the OG short story collection. And Ellie really has a way with words and a very playful way of using language and looking at human relationships of all kinds. And just, a truly amazing short story writer. And also novelist of the Liars Dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
Ellie sent us quite a long rec, so strap in.
I don't know why, that really made me laugh.
It tickled you. If it's not too crass to mention a forthcoming anthology where I have a contribution, I was so delighted to be part of Duets, edited by Tom Conahan, and due to be published in October by Scratch Books. I remember Tom's initial email pitching the idea in 2022. He envisaged a collection of short stories written as duets between two writers, where the text was passed, in inverted commas, between them, like a loom shuttle. The emphasis on writing as collaboration, where the final story can take the form of two different narrative voices or not, with writers, in inverted commas, free to play, respond, lead, echo, build, contrast as they see fit, was a daunting but energizing prospect, and it's been a joy to read how differently each of the paired writers responded to the brief. The stories are full of experimentation, guile, and wit. My own story, written with my wife, Nell Stevens, sidebar, author of Briefly A Delicious Life and Bleaker House, among other things, returning to Ellie's text, considers the pairing that might occur between a ghost and their hauntee, attempting to see whether we could enact through a narrative the way haunted spaces might be shared and how their thresholds maybe transgressed. I should mention that Nell is a far better and more efficient writer than me, so it's interesting to read the book both as an anthology of great stories, but also an unseen testament to the emails, meetings, track changes, etc. that go into making a story when the work is the result of two writers. I guess what I'm saying is, if you're not interested in short stories, read this collection for a prurient, scandalized reasons and gain a literary insight into the frisson between a deadline-avoidant, jittery author, me, and their far more capable, patient partner. So
I love her.
Like I said, Ellie had a way with words. Yes. And like truly, even just reading out the recommendation should give an indication of what Ellie's writing is like, i.e. wonderful. Ellie says, I'm also impatient to read Childish Literature by Alejandro Zambra, translated by Megan McDowell, coming October from Fitzcarraldo. Again, a collection of short stories. The book focuses on aspects of Zambra's new parenthood, something I find difficult to write about and desperate, in brackets, read wholly envious, to see handled well. Zambra's writing has been described by Valeria Luiselli, author of Lost Children Archive, as, when I read Zambra, I feel like someone shooting fireworks inside my head. What could be better than that? I'm looking forward to how poignancy, tricksiness, and artful responses to aspects of parenthood will be brought to the page.
I am intrigued. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think Duet sounds like such an interesting project.
What a cool idea.
I am for sure going to pre-order that.
And like, that would not have been on our radar in any way if we had not specifically asked Ellie Williams for a recommendation.
I think it would have ended up on my radar because...
We follow Ellie Williams.
And also the list of authors, my friend Anna Wood.
Oh, yes.
Who wrote a collection, yes, which is just so wonderful. Yes, Yes, More, More. And she, I think her duet is with Ruby Cowling.
Mm.
Who wrote an incredible collection, the name of which escapes me right now. But my favourite story is called Flamingoland. And it's just one of the best stories I have ever read about fatness and fat phobia.
Mm.
It's such an incredible collection. The whole thing is great. But that one story, I've come back to it multiple times. I'm excited. I think this will be a fun read.
And what a nice thing to be able to tell all of our listeners about it as well.
Okay, I have a fun question for you.
Hit me.
If you were commissioned...
You.
No! You can't just say me. You're not allowed to say me. Okay. Someone else.
If I had to write a short story with another author who is not Alice Slater, that's really hard. Because I would just want to do it with you, because I want to know, like, how your brain works when you write.
See, I suppose my question then to you would be, like, again, thinking beyond... me, although that would be a dream, would you pick someone who writes within the same genre as you, or would you intentionally pick someone who writes outside of the genre?
I would want to work with someone who is outside of my experience, just because I feel like I'm so kind of in my way and doing what I do, and I'm always so interested whenever I chair an event. I just love hearing about other people's like process, especially as it relates to things that I do not write. So someone that writes gnarly things, maybe
some little freak.
A little freak.
But why have you got a little freak right here?
Exactly. But you've said I can't choose you. Who do you want to be paired up with?
God, it is a difficult question, isn't it? Because it's like my first thought would be Eliza Clark.
Mm.
I love her weird brain. I love the way she writes. I've loved everything she's written, so that would be a dream. Yeah, that's my answer. Okay. Clark.
An acceptable answer. We've got another recommendation for you.
We do. Okay, another from Team Bookseller, and possibly our last bookseller. Yeah, this is our last bookseller. We have Babe of the Pod, who I'd say, like, Elizabeth from Dawn Summertown is, like, our current Silence of the Lambs, which you've also mentioned in both episodes we've recorded today.
We cannot stop talking about her.
We, you know, when we love something, we run with it.
Yeah.
We love Elizabeth. And her recommendation is just so fucking chic.
She is so chic.
So Elizabeth says, after adoring Lily and Olick's book on Eve Babbitt, and then reading everything Eve ever wrote, I am very excited to read Lily's new book, Didion and Babbitt, on the complicated alliance between Joan Didion and Eve Babbitt. It is also publishing right around my 30th birthday, which feels seismic, auspicious, and chic.
Oh, what a good egg.
God, we love you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the person who you were getting, like, the book.
I was getting my subscription. And that has now come to a sad end.
That is sad.
I need to either accept that those days are over or reinvest. But I loved getting a book chosen from the brain of Elizabeth. And I'm really, there's one that, the last one she sent me, I think it's called Follow Her Home, and it's by Steph Char. And when I posted about it, people were very excited. Like, she's someone that people really like. So I'm wondering if once I have read the Attica Locke, that Steph Char can be like a sideways move into like chic American noir-y crime.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. So our final author recommendation is from Kuchenga Shenje, who wrote The Library Thief, which we are both really hyped to read. Like, we both have failed to read it thus far, but now we're like, we simply must.
I think because, okay, you will read the blurb.
I'm going to read the blurb.
And then I'll say what I was going to say.
A strikingly original and absorbing mystery about a white passing bookbinder in Victorian England and the secrets lurking on the estate where she works for fans of Fingersmith and the Confessions of Franny Langton.
So I already knew the vibe of this book. Like, it's been on my radar. I've been looking forward to reading it. But having read, as I said previously, I don't tend to read blurbs very often. So in order to like give an accurate nutshell for this podcast, I read the full length blurb. And it sounds so up our street.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Fingersmith is name checked, but it also has like Daphne du Maurier vibes. Like, it just sounds amazing. Gothic, creepy, fun. I can't wait. I'm definitely going to read that in the autumn.
Agree. So Kuchenga recommended Coloured Television by Danzy Senna. She says, I love bold writers the best, and this book promises to pillory the modern media landscape. The modern media landscape in the way it deserves. And because, you know, that gives us a flavour, but I'm going to read you a description of this book, of Coloured Television by Danzy Senna. Jane, a biracial novelist bent on writing the quote-unquote mulatto War and Peace, only to discover her manuscript is completely unsellable. Desperate to lift her family out of an increasingly unstable middle class, she turns to the cash flow of Hollywood, and specifically to a larger-than-life producer who's convinced they can create the prestige Jackie Robinson of biracial comedies. A game of representation bingo ensues, pitting Jane against her artist husband and perhaps against herself. This sounds delightful satire. Yeah. I'm very hyped about this. I think on my radar at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it. Which is one of the joys of an episode like this, because I think this may well have passed me by. But I'm intrigued. I enjoy the kind of both the glamour and the hideous underbelly of Hollywood. I'm very interested in that vibe. So I think it's going to be fun.
How great is it that we asked all these different people and they gave us so many different things, many of which were not on our radar. And like, now you know about them, you people listening at home.
So your homework is to please, A, check out the fundraiser for Common Press.
Yep.
And B, let us know if you end up reading any of these and if we've missed anything that you're particularly excited about.
Well, exactly. I'd say A, Common Press. B, check out these recommendations. And C, tell us about anything you're excited about that none of us mentioned. Or if there's one that we mentioned that you are also excited about. We just like chatting to you.
We just enjoy the chat, guys.
Well, I've really enjoyed this chat and I hope that you got something out of this. We certainly did. And we're going to take the little peach dog outside.
She's going to go on an adventure. She's going to meet so many women wearing so many different perfumes. She's going to come home stinking. Stinking like a Sephora.
Oh, it's going to be so gorge. Well, we will see you next time.
Bye! Bye.